Our scripture this morning is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 21. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of God's power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of justice. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. These are our sacred stories.
Thank you.
For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. This present darkness. There's a book by that name. It's by Frank Peretti, and I was strongly encouraged to read it when I was a teenager. I did read it, but I fear it did not have the desired effect. The book depicts spiritual warfare as demons and angels struggle for control of the citizens of a small town. The demons and angels strategize about how to either harm or protect the people. For example, when planning the initial attack, one demon says, "I'll go to the saints first. Already there's plenty for them to be upset about, plenty to divide them. I'll keep them busy censoring and smiting each other, and their hearts will be far from praying." I believe the book was supposed to make me more aware of the war instigated by Satan and his minions, and to help me be more focused on fighting it, to put on the whole armor of God, so that I would be ready to face the cosmic powers of this present darkness and fight against the spiritual forces of evil. Now, I was aware as I sang Onward Christian Soldiers. Any of you know that one? Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Or the children's version. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom toward the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I was aware as I sang battle songs. I was aware of a battle waging within myself. It was a fight for how I could get away from all that, but not leave the church. I did. I managed to leave most of that, but not the church. But more and more, I'm finding that I may have left too much. As I listen to the news and my neighbors, it seems to me that we are facing powers beyond merely those of blood and flesh. In this present darkness, it seems to me that there are rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, and spiritual forces. All of us deal with the powers that be, wrote theologian Walter Wink. They staff our hospitals, run our city hall, sit around tables in corporate boardrooms, collect our taxes, and head our families. But the powers that be are more than just people who run things. They are the systems themselves, the institutions and structures that weave society into an intricate fabric of power and relationships. These powers surround us on every side. They are necessary. They are useful. We could do nothing without them. Who wants to do without timely mail delivery or roads? But the powers are also the source of unmitigated evils. A corporation routinely dumps known carcinogens into a river that is the source of drinking water for towns downstream. Another industry attempts to hook children into addiction to cigarettes, despite the evidence that a third of them will die prematurely from smoke-related illnesses. A dictator wages war against his own citizens in order to maintain his grasp on power. A contractor pays off a building inspector so he can violate code and put up a shoddy and unsafe structure. A power plant exposes its employees to radioactive poisoning. The employee who attempts to document these safety infractions is forced off the road by another car and dies, all her documents missing. But Wink continues. He says, but the powers aren't always that brutal. Some people enjoy their jobs. Some products are life-enhancing, even life-saving. The powers don't simply do evil. They also do good. Often they do both good and evil at the same time. They form a complex web that we can neither ignore nor escape. The powers do not simply do evil, they also do good. We know this full well. We know the powers are capable of great good. In our city, on this 1-year anniversary of Harvey and the devastation it brought, we know that the powers can work for the care of all people. And we also know, oh, how we know, that the powers can work for evil. Racism, patriarchy, homophobia, greed and hatred, bigotry, ignorance and fear, these two are principalities and powers at work in the world. It is these powers that poison Flint's water, that separate families at the border and still have not reunited hundreds of children with their parents. These powers refuse to fund health care or schools. They gerrymander voting districts. They fuel flames of distrust and have us fighting against each other instead of against oppression. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand the evil day. You see, I've been avoiding passages like this because I was failing to see the metaphor for what it is. This passage is not about violence, or rather, it's very much about violence, but it's not encouraging us to be violent. Onward, Christian soldiers, yes, that's right, onward. Following Jesus, turning the other cheek, forgiving endlessly, loving our enemies. It's not a fight against other people. It's not a triumphal war to form a Christian government. It's not a struggle opposing non-Christians. The author of Ephesians co-opts violent imagery. He co-opts violent imagery. He takes the image of a Roman soldier, an image that in their time would strike fear. Christians were regularly arrested, beaten, murdered. He takes it and he turns it on his head. Facing a fully armored soldier, the oppressed would have felt powerless, defenseless. No, the writer says. No, you're not weak. You're covered in the armor of God. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of justice. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We must demand that the powers work for good. We demand it by loving our enemies, or nation, or church, or school, not blindly but critically, calling them back time and time again to their own highest self-professed ideals and identities. When the powers are used for evil, we must call them out and demand they change. When systemic racism, generational oppression, institutionalized poverty, when the seductive promises of violence, that might makes right, that war brings peace, that the ends justify the means, when these oppressive systems and ideals become the essence of so many of the powers that be, we must put on the whole armor of God and stand firm against them. We need the belt of truth to gird us up, to give us the courage to speak, to confront lies and misinformation of the powers. We need the breastplate of justice. In Isaiah, God wears a breastplate of justice. That passage, which the author of Ephesians surely knew, describes God's just intervention on behalf of those who are being tortured and killed without cause. God's justice and judgment were grounds for God to intervene. And now it's up to us to wear justice, to put it right over our hearts and demand change. With truth around us and justice before us, we put on the shoes of peace. Peace, not conquest, not domination, not violence. When we stand and march in shoes that make us ready for the work of peace, we are engaging in nonviolent direct action. And then we take up the shield of faith. Throughout our sacred stories, God promises faithfulness to all generations. God promises to be with us. It is God's steadfast love which we hold in front of us against the evil powers. Now we place the helmet of salvation on our heads, ready to do the work of freedom, to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the living Word of God, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The armor can be heavy, but we do not wear it alone. We, as a church, we wear it together, and together we can do the spiritual work of unmasking and recalling the powers to the common good of the people. We do not do this work alone. We're joined by all who oppose the evil powers, not with evil, but with love. We do this work through nonviolent direct action. We do it by voting, by confronting the powers with calls to our representatives, by demanding change. We do it by putting on the shoes of peace and marching. We do it with our money. When we spend our money where the powers are working for good, and we refuse to spend our money where the powers malign and abuse, we are wearing the armor of God. We are standing firm. We have the belt of truth, the breastplate of justice, the helmet of freedom, the shoes of peace. We hold the shield of God's promises of steadfast love, and we carry the sword of the Spirit, the sword of active, non-violent love. We are not alone. We do the work together. And so may we be strong in the Lord and in the strength of God's power. May we put on the whole armor of God. For our struggle is not merely against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces. May we stand firm together. Amen.